right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to First Works Baptist Church. Let's all find our seats. As you find your seat, please grab a songbook. Turn to song number 310. Song number 310, Footprints of Jesus. Let's all stand together for this first song if you are able. Song number 310, Footprints of Jesus. All together nice and strong on that first verse. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard Thee calling, come follow me. And we see where Thy footprints falling lead us to Thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Though they lead o'er the cold, dark mountains seeking His sheep, or along by Siloam's fountains helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. If they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly, footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Then at last, when on high He sees us, our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus end at His throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go.
Amen. Wonderful singing. Let's start off our service with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for giving us another day that we can come to Your house here, Lord, and to hear the preaching of Your word. And I thank You for every precious soul in this building this morning, Lord, and I ask that You please just bless our service, have Your hand upon us as we sing, and please fill Pastor Mejia with Your Spirit as he preaches unto us. And I ask, Lord, that You please give us Your Spirit also in the congregation, that we may take what's preached unto us and apply it to our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Please turn your songbooks to song number 197. Song number 197, Singing I Go. Song number 197, all together nice and strong on that first verse.
The trusting heart to Jesus clings, nor any ill forebodes, but at the cross of Calvary sings, praise God for lifted loads. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. The passing days bring many cares, fear not, I hear Him say. And when my fears are turned to prayers, the burdens slip away. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. He tells me of my Father's love and never slumbering eye, my everlasting King. to the throne of grace I flee.
Great singing. Thank you for being here this morning. Welcome to First Works Baptist Church. Just a few announcements here before we sing our next song, which will be song number 152, Security, song number 152, if you want to get that ready. If you did not get a bulletin, go ahead and raise your hand, and one of the ushers can get one for you. Important information on there. Of course, our Sunday morning service is at 10:30, Sunday evening at 5 p.m., and then we have our Thursday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We are currently going through the book of Matthew, and so hope to see you during our midweek service there. We are a family-integrated church, and so infants and children stay with their parents in the service. We don't have Sunday school classes or nurseries. However, for your convenience, there is a mother-baby room located in the back of the building if your child needs some diversion. There are changing tables available as there as well. And so if the children kind of get out of hand during the service and they, you know, start crying or throwing a little fit, or maybe they just need to be distracted a little bit, you can utilize those rooms and come back in at your discretion. And so there's screens and speakers available in there as well, so you can still tune into the preaching. And then happy birthday to all of those in August. So whose birthday is in August? Raise your hand. All right, we got one right here, one right there, there. What else? One right there, my son. All right, Adrian, got one there. All right, we got quite a bit in August. All right, let's go ahead and sing happy birthday to those in August. Ready? Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Hope you enjoyed those healthy donuts outside for those of you who came today. And then you see the soul winning teams and times. We added some new soul winning times there. You can look over that and get in contact with Brother Ulysses if you would like to participate in those areas. You see the list of expecting mothers. Continue to pray for them. And we have a special announcement here for Miss Olivia. Due to health issues that are dangerous for both Olivia and the baby, Olivia Lee is scheduled for a C-section on Friday. The baby will only be 32 weeks and will have an extended stay in the NICU. We would like to be a blessing by providing gift cards or monetary gifts that they can use while Olivia and the baby are recovering. So please talk to Ms. Tamara Brash to sign up via mealtrain.com. And so please keep them in prayer. Keep her and the baby in prayer. And, of course, Brother John as well. And, of course, this is a difficult time for them. So if you can pray for them and if you can be a blessing to them, I'm sure they would appreciate it. Miss Tamara, where is she at? Is she here? She's not even here yet, right? Well, if she's not here, we need someone else to talk. Brother, Miss Sarah, my wife. So raise your hand, my wife. You can talk to her. And so if you have any questions about that. And then the important reminders there at the bottom, please make sure you're supervising your children in the building. No children should be in the mother-baby room alone without their parents. And, of course, no men allowed in the mother-baby room or in the women's fellowship restroom. Men, if you need to take your children out, if you have diaper duty or something, the restroom right here, the men's restroom, has a changing table. And you can utilize the foyer if you need to step out for a little bit as well. The upcoming church events, TJ Soul Winning tomorrow. So we're going to Mexico tomorrow. And if you would like to participate in that, by the way, you have to speak Spanish. I don't know if you know that. You know, it's Mexico. So if you would like to participate in that and you speak Spanish, we would invite you to come. We're going to meet at the building here at 9 a.m. We're going to head over there, have lunch, go soul winning, and have some delicious tacos as well, okay, which is a great incentive to go to TJ. And so, you know, if you don't really feel like going to preach the gospel, I'm going to use carnal means to reel you in, which is they got good tacos and Mexican Coke. And so Coca-Cola, I mean, okay. I got to clarify that. And it's important to clarify in these days. So we're going to meet here at 9 a.m. If you have any questions about that, you can see Brother Ulysses. And Brother Glenn actually went to TJ with the group, and he had a lot of success there. I believe about 15 people got saved, and so, Lord willing, we'll see a great harvest of souls tomorrow. Be in prayer for us. And then the Hold Fast Soul Winning Marathon is this Saturday, August 12th. The van, the church van, will be leaving at 5 a.m. promptly. Brother Glenn's going to be heading that up, and I will be there as well. We want to make it to the Saturday morning preaching at 10 a.m. Pastor Aaron Thompson is going to be preaching, and then we're going to be soul winning thereafter. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, you can see either Brother Glenn or Brother Ulysses Hernandez for more details. Ladies' Prayer Breakfast is coming up on Saturday, August 12th. And a meal will also be provided, of course, during that time. And you can see Miss Janelle Gonzalez regarding that. She heads that up for the Ladies' Prayer Breakfast. No food or drink allowed in the main auditorium except for water and coffee. Make sure you're not loitering in the foyer fellowship hall during the preaching service. And then quiet time this afternoon is from 3 p.m. to 4:15. And please, 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 please make sure you silence your phones during the preaching so as to not be a distraction during the service. And that is all. Let's go ahead and sing our next song, 152, Security, song number 152.
Song number 152, all together on that first verse.
More secure is no one ever than the loved ones of the Savior. Not yon star on high abiding, nor the bird in homeless hiding. God his own doth tend and nourish, in his holy courts they flourish. Like a father kind, he spares them. In his loving arm, he bears them. Neither life nor death can ever from the Lord his children sever. For his love and deep compassion comfort them in tribulation. Little flock, to joy then yield thee. Gate of God will ever shield thee. Rest secure with this defender. At his will all foes surrender. What he takes for what he gives us shows the Father's love so precious. We may trust his purpose wholly. 'Tis his children's welfare solely.
Amen. Wonderful singing. At this time, the ushers will come forth to receive the offering. You can turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 14.
Proverbs chapter number 14, the Bible reads, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. Let's pray to the Lord God. Thank you for your word and for this opportunity to hear preach now. I just ask that you would meet with us here now. Please bless Pastor Mejia with your Holy Spirit. And please just be with us as well. Please bless the preaching to our edification that we can be better Christians. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Okay, we're in Proverbs chapter 14 this morning. And look down at your Bibles at verse 15. It says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." And the title of my sermon this morning is, "Why Believing in Aliens is Stupid." Why believing in aliens is stupid. Now, this may seem like a silly sermon, but the reality is this is we're living in 2023 where this is actually a thing, even to the point where it's going into the realm of Christianity, and Christians are even buying into some of this stuff. And so it's important that when we come to the house of God, we go to the great equalizer, that which tells us what we should believe, and discard fables and nonsense and lies, and stick with what the Bible actually says. Now, let me say here is that the Bible's saying in Proverbs chapter 14 that a simple person will just believe every word. Now, what is a simple person? It's referring to a simpleton. The modern term would be someone who's stupid. And the reason it says that is because of the fact that someone who is a simpleton, someone who we would call a stupid individual, doesn't really investigate anything, doesn't make inquiry, doesn't really want to know the truth. They're just willing to believe anything that anyone says. And according to the Bible, that's wrong. You know, the Bible tells us to make diligent inquiry, to prove all things, hold fast that which is good, and not to just blindly follow whatever anyone says. Now, the only time it's appropriate, essentially, to believe what someone says is when it's God who's saying it, right? Because the Bible says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." The Bible always talks about that the witness of God is greater. And it's important that when we approach the Word of God, we approach it in faith and recognize that everything that the Bible says is true. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. The Bible tells us that knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is given of any private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so a couple things that is always true in this life is, you know, we're always going to pay taxes, amen? Death is certain, and the Word of God is always true, amen? And so the point of the sermon this morning is to make sure that you don't become a simpleton, or that if you are a simpleton, that you graduate to having some intelligence, some common sense, and stop believing in the stupidity of aliens, okay? The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 10, go with me there if you would, Jeremiah chapter 10, We're just going to talk about some things by way of introduction. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 1, the Bible reads, "Hear ye the word of the Lord, which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord," in verse number 2, "learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven," the Bible says, "for the heathen are dismayed at them." So this is literally referring to the fact that in these particular days, in Jeremiah's days, there are individuals who would look at the signs of heaven, whether that were the celestial bodies known as planets, the stars, the moon, and they would be dismayed at them. They would think that they would have some sort of spiritual significance, some sort of celestial significance to them, spiritual impact, and they would be dismayed at them. You know, they would observe times and months and years, and they would essentially become afraid at the heavenly bodies. Well, today, obviously, there might be individuals out there that are still afraid of these heavenly bodies, but the reality is this. Now we have people who live in the United States that when they see a flying object of some sort in the sky, you know, the sign in heaven, the UAPs, automatically they're like Star Wars. I knew it was real, you know what I mean? And they start coming to these ridiculous conclusions that just because there's some sort of flying object that maybe they've never ever seen before, other than in a sci-fi type of a movie, some technologically advanced object, automatically they come to the conclusion there must be extraterrestrial life out there because I've never seen something like that before, right? But the Bible tells us don't learn the way of the heathen. You know, the way of the heathen is that they jump to conclusions. The way of the heathen is that they look at something in the sky that they're not familiar with, something that's foreign and alien, and automatically think, oh, you know, this is extraterrestrial. This is something that comes from a different planet. You know, that's a stupid conclusion, okay? Don't be dismayed at them. Don't learn the way of the heathen. You know, create reasonable conclusions based upon logic, based upon information and facts, based upon just being reasonable, okay? Now, what is an alien? I can't believe I'm preaching this, but what is an alien? According to the modern definition, well, an alien, when we think of an alien, you know, the Bible does talk about aliens, but when the Bible refers to aliens, it's referring to just foreigners, okay? Someone who is from a foreign country, you know, and they use it essentially even today referring to illegal aliens, right? But when the most popular use of aliens today is referring to an extraterrestrial, the ETs, the monsters from outer space, the Martians, okay? Now, why are people so obsessed and or afraid of aliens? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because of movies, okay? It's because of the movies. I mean, we live in a culture that is saturated with talk and movies about aliens. Books are constantly being promoted. There's constant movies about aliens, Independence Day type things, where it's just like the possibility of an alien invasion is always possible. And then you have these pseudoscientists that buy into that stuff. And because people give them credibility based upon whatever degrees that they have, you know, they put forth these theories that there's these advanced civilizations out there and other planets and other galaxies. And what people do, they just buy into that stuff, okay? So they become afraid. What if there is an alien invasion? Do we have a plan for an alien invasion? What happens if we make contact with life on other planets, etc.? And so it becomes very much an obsession of the culture. And by the way, it's an obsession of American culture. Yeah. Notice that all these sightings of these so-called UAPs only happens in America. You know, I saw a meme the other day. It's just like aliens in a movie, how they view the world. And it's just only the United States. There's like no other country on the globe. It's just the United States, okay? Why is it popular today? Why is the concept of aliens, the fable of aliens, should we say, popular today? Well, because of so-called whistleblowers, okay? These so-called whistleblowers, these sightings of UAPs, unidentified anomalous, what's the P stand for? Phenomenon, right? Unidentified anomalous phenomenon, that's what they call it. So it's no longer UFO, unidentified flying object. Now it's unidentified anomalous phenomenon, okay? And, you know, you have these whistleblowers that are going before Congress and, you know, they're making news and, you know, essentially promoting the existence of aliens. And so people are very much intrigued by this, okay? Now, you say, well, what's the purpose of promoting aliens if they're not real? Why would people promote aliens if they're not real? Well, let's just look at a couple concepts here of the possibilities as to why they would be promoted. Number one, it could obviously be a smokescreen for other things that the government is doing. Okay? You know, promoting lies is not something that's far-fetched for the government to do. Okay? And so it's possible that the government is just promoting this nonsense because we have a dumb culture that just believes anything, including the existence of aliens and Bigfoot and all these other nonsensical ideas. And so it could be a smokescreen for something else that the government is up to. Another reason why they would be promoting aliens is essentially, you never know, it could have some end time significance to it, where after the tribulation takes place and then the rapture comes and all believers are taken up to go be home to be with the Lord, that could be something that the government promotes, the New World Order promotes, is saying, oh, aliens took, you know, all these people or whatever. It's an alien invasion. We don't really know. It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, the Bible tells us that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And so again, the purpose of the sermon is to help us to no longer be simple, to avoid simplicity and buy into knowledge, buy into reason, buy into biblical ideas. Now, one of the reasons I want to preach this morning is obviously there's unsaved people that believe in this stuff because they just watch too many movies and they want this to be real. But for some reason, you know, Christians also buy into this stuff as well. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but, you know, Christians, there's Christians out there that won't blatantly say they believe in aliens. They'll just make an excuse for what it is. You know, it's not an alien, it's a demon, you know. That's what it really is. Because they don't know any other way to explain it. And so automatically they say, well, it has to be an angel or a demon or something like that. Which I'm going to debunk that in this sermon. Amen. So let me just give you a couple points this morning as to why believing in aliens is just really stupid. Okay? And I hope no one in here believes in aliens. But if you do, you'll be convinced by the end of the sermon that it's a stupid idea. Now, number one. Reason number one why why believing in aliens are stupid is the most obvious, and that is that there's zero evidence to prove that they exist.
Right.
There's no evidence whatsoever that aliens exist. Oh, what about like those UAPs? How is that proof of extraterrestrial life?
Yeah.
It's a ship. It's an aircraft. And in fact, you know, years ago, prior to the government, you know, showing the stealth bomber, they would fly it over. It was a secret project. And people literally thought that it was an alien aircraft because it was very foreign to what was currently, you know, considered an aircraft by the government. You know, stealth bombers, they look pretty, you know, radical. Okay. And obviously now we know what they are. But people, when they saw it in those days, they're like, oh, it's an alien. But it wasn't an alien just because it wasn't able to be tracked by radar or whatever. It was just advanced technology that the government was holding on to, wasn't showing to the public. You understand? Now, again, the Bible says to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And you say to yourself, yeah, but I've seen so many YouTube videos, though, of like dead aliens. You know, there's something called Hollywood, though.
Yeah.
And Hollywood can make some pretty convincing corpses of aliens. Okay? I mean, they have to. You know, they have CGI. They have people who work with that stuff. And so, you know, YouTube videos where the video's all pixelated. There's no high resolution. I've never, you know, it's incredible to think that we live in a day and age where 4K is so prevalent and available, but yet we don't get 4K images of these extraterrestrials or of Bigfoot. And look, people still believe in Bigfoot today. And I heard a funny joke. It's just like, you know why all the images of Bigfoot are pixelated? It could be because Bigfoot is pixelated. You know? But if Bigfoot was real, we would have found some sort of corpse of that animal in the forest within the last 10, 20 years because, you know, Bigfoot, if it's real, it's going to die.
Yeah.
Why haven't we found any skeletal corpses or anything of that nature? You know, it's people who just want to believe in these sci-fi ideas. They just think there's something outside of what already exists. And folks, you know, God's creation is enough already.
Yeah.
Okay? And if you want to look for aliens or things that look like aliens, just study and observe the animals that dwell in the deep ocean.
Yeah.
Those things are alien enough when you look at those things. You know, the anglerfish, for example, it just looks alien, but it's actually something that God created. You don't need a flying saucer to satiate your desire for that which looks alien. You know, the Bible tells us that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now, one of the reasons, go to Deuteronomy chapter 19, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 19. You say, what are the ships that are in the sky then? You know, what is that? Because obviously there are these UAPs, there's enough footage of that, of these aircrafts that are traveling at incredible speeds, okay, through the air, things that we've never seen before technologically. And so what is that? Well, in my opinion, it's just the government having new technology. Amen. Yep. I mean, the reality is this, and you know, they're actually creating technology, and I forgot what it's called right now, but there's a specific form of transportation that could essentially go from New York to, it's a transatlantic transportation that can go from New York all the way to Europe in a matter of 45 minutes, okay? They're creating that, and that's great technology, is it not? I mean, to be able to travel at that speed is great. It's not demonic. It's like, well, that's so evil. Why is that evil? The drive-thru is not evil, okay? You know, being able to travel from point A to point B in a limited amount of time is not an evil thing. That's technology. That's a good thing, okay? I'm just saying that there's technology out there that we don't know about that is going to be introduced to this world later on. And if you think that is crazy, wait till you see the abomination of desolation, okay? That's able to destroy people and kill people, and the Bible's prophesied of those things. And so there's technology out there that, you know, we haven't seen, that is foreign to us, that when we, at one point or another, is going to be the norm for us. For example, how about the iPhone today, right? You know, where you have a computer in your pocket that is able to take pictures, it is able to record videos, it is able to record those UAPs and the so-called Bigfoots, and it's, you know, you can text message people, you can contact people on the other side of the world. I mean, this is something that was very foreign to people 1,000 years ago, that obviously it's a technology that's very much advanced. And even 20 or 30 years ago, if you were to propose that to someone, they would say, what in the world? That sounds too advanced. That sounds alien. Okay. Now, we'll say this. I'm waiting for the flying cars to come out. It's like, you got all these other, can we get some flying cars? Can we get some, what is it, the Jetson type of technology out here already? But think about this, okay? Regarding these UAPs, because again, in my opinion, it's just government that has advanced technology. And you say, yeah, but how can a person, you know, actually be in that type of aircraft and travel at that velocity and not like disintegrate or something? I'll tell you how. They're not in there. Have you heard of like unmanned aircrafts? You're like, oh, I don't know about that. Folks, I own a drone. But I don't actually fly in the drone. And here's the thing. You know, I saw a really funny meme. I get a lot of memes, and I feel like they communicate truths very well sometimes. But, you know, the people who are really advanced in this area of drones, they're able to essentially fly up. I'm going to throw a number out there because I don't know exactly how many there are. Let's say there's like 100 drones into the sky that have these particular lights, and they can create these images in the sky. It's very beautiful. You know, they have like this technology drone art where at night they fly these drones and they fly them in formation and create these images. It's awesome. And I saw a meme one time that said, why don't we fly 100 of those to some indigenous tribe and make a face and become their god? Right? And it's just like, it probably would work. Yeah. You know, if we were to take, if time travel was possible, which it is not, if I were to take a drone back to the biblical days, 2,000 years ago, and I flew a drone, many people would freak out at what's in the sky. Yeah. I mean, people would freak out to see an airplane in the sky. 2,000 years ago, people could not imagine that human beings would be flying in a massive aircraft from one continent to another. I mean, this is the world in which we live, okay? And so don't think, you know, just because there's a UAP or an aircraft in the sky flying at some incredible velocity, automatically the conclusion should be that there's aliens that exist. No, give human beings a little more credit. Amen. Human beings are capable of incredible technological advancement. And just read, for example, the book of Revelation, where there would be a technology, which, by the way, already exists for as precursors to the mark of the beast, where no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark. And so, you know, putting it on the right hand or in the forehead and being able to purchase things. I mean, you think of Neuralink, for example. You think of just Amazon One, for example, where they literally put a chip into the hand and you go to the store and boop, you just buy something by just waving your hand around it. I mean, that's advanced technology, okay? Now, obviously, it could be used for good, but it's obviously going to be used for bad in the long run. But technology in and of itself is not evil. It's how people use technology. You know, it's like, for example, the internet. The internet can be used in a great way to preach the gospel, to get information out, biblical information out there, to give exposure to the Word of God. But obviously, people have used the internet for nefarious reasons as well, okay? And so, number one, the reason believing in aliens is stupid is because there's zero evidence to prove that they exist. It doesn't exist. They're not real. And the reason, as of recently, why this idea has caught momentum is because there's a man by the name of David Grush who went before Congress, who was working for, you know, the UAP task force that they created about a year and a half ago or something. When these UAPs started showing up, you know, Congress is just like trying to hold the government accountable. It's like, we're going to make a task force and they're going to investigate this and we're going to get to the bottom of this if aliens are real. So this guy, David Grush, comes out and he's being interviewed by Congress as far as what the findings are. And he's considered a whistleblower. Okay. But here's the funny thing is that they're making it seem as though like he's really putting his life in danger by coming out and talking about this and exposing this. But they gave him permission to do it. The task force literally said, yeah, and this is what all the things that you can talk about right here. And so they gave him a list of things that he can talk about, and that's all he could. And they said, you know, don't give any images, any, you know, videos or any images. We don't want you to do any of that. This is just the only thing you can talk about. Now, he goes before Congress, and they're asking him, are there unidentified anomalous phenomenon? Are there aircrafts out there? And he's like, yes, there are. And he's like, and they ask him, like, are there, you know, I don't know exactly how they worded this, but like, are there alien bodies? He's like, well, typically when a aircraft crashes, okay, typically there's dead pilots in there. So, yes, there is some sort of biological entity that we recovered from these aircrafts. Basically saying, yeah, there's aliens in these aircrafts, okay? And everyone in the back is just like, yes, you know? No, no pictures, no nothing. You say, well, isn't that valid enough, though, for him to just say that if he worked for the task force? Well, let me just say this, is that every single time he's asked about these very detailed descriptions of the physical bodies and the ships, he's not giving his firsthand account of this. He's saying that when he joined the task force, he was debriefed that these things were real. He was debriefed on the supposed corpses that were taking out of the alien aircraft. He was debriefed on the aircraft, but he himself has said, like, I've never seen it though. Now, this is the main guy that everyone's excited about. You know, he's exposing, you know, the alien cover-up and Area 51 and all these things, but he didn't see it. It's hearsay, exactly, which does not hold up in a court of law. Hearsay is just like, you know, in the court, they just say hearsay. In other words, this is not their firsthand account. He's getting it from someone else. It's secondhand, which is not valid. You understand? Now look at Deuteronomy chapter 19, if you would. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15, it says, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. And a witness is not someone who has received the information secondhand. It's a person who witnessed what took place, right? Now, obviously, in the Bible, there are instances where someone was a witness of something that they heard, okay? You know, if someone committed a murder, they're worshiping false gods, they were a witness of something that they heard. And at that point, if there's more than one witness in that case, then this is what happens. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy 17. It says in verse number 2, if there be of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman, that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee that thou hast heard of it and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wicked thing, and unto thy gates, even the man or that woman, and shall stone them with stones till they die. In other words, if they hear about it, okay, now the next step is that they have to inquire diligently. They have to actually investigate to see if these things are so. This is not a debriefing. Amen. In other words, there has to be substantial evidence to claim that these things are true so that a person may be punished. And the same thing can be added and applied to this particular situation. People are giving so much credibility to this guy who it's literally getting it second and third hand. And he's like, you know, well, I worked with this guy all my career and he came up to me and he debriefed me on this and he said it was true. And so, yes, it's true. You know, there's alien bodies and alien aircrafts. But folks, that's not enough evidence. Now, look, you know, the aircrafts that are being viewed in the sky, that's good evidence that there's some sort of aircraft that is foreign to us, to our knowledge, right? And there's tons of that. And there's a lot of pilots who have even said, we saw this, I filmed it. I mean, many, many pilots who have said this. And in fact, even John's father, who's a pilot, even saw a UAP, okay? But not a single witness of an actual alien. Right. Why? Because there's zero evidence that they exist, because they don't exist. Amen. They're a figment of your imagination, not yours, but the people who actually want to believe in them. Okay, and so why is it stupid to believe in aliens? Because there's zero evidence that they exist whatsoever. Okay, number two, go with me if you would to Genesis chapter 1. And here's the thing, folks, you know, if there's so many videos, really bad quality videos, of these dead aliens or whatever, because, you know, people say, yeah, but there's so many videos out there, though. You know, there's so, okay, then it's time for the government to just show them, right? I mean, that's basically their way of kind of showing that they exist. Why not just kind of show us that we've made contact or something, right? I'll tell you why, because there's no one, it doesn't exist, it's not real. So they have to keep putting out these false videos and allowing them to circulate on the internet to create this delusion that extraterrestrials are real and that they're hiding it. It's nonsensical, okay? Now, reason number two why believing in aliens is stupid. To believe in aliens is to assert that God created beings, listen to this, superior to man. Right? Because anytime aliens are mentioned in the public, it's just like they're just an advanced civilization, okay? They're advanced and they have these advanced technologies. And, you know, you even have, well, I'll get into that illustration later, actually. I was going to talk about Joe Rogan, but that's point number five, okay? But they're saying, you know, they're so advanced. And so from a biblical perspective, what they're saying is that there's a civilization out there more advanced than human beings, which does not line up with the Bible. Because according to the Bible, we are the greatest of God's creation. Amen. Human beings are the greatest. They're the superior race in this world, okay? The human race is superior than all the animals, all of God's creation. We are the most important in the eyes of God, as proven by the fact that God commendeth his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, okay? Now, let me read to you a couple of verses here before we get into Genesis 1. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Now look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 25. It says here, referring to the creation story, "And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Listen to this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So according to the biblical creation account, God created man in the image of God, right? In other words, we are, as a lot of liberals like to call it, the image bearers of God, okay? Now, this poses a problem for the alien believers. Because if they're superior to us, why do they look so freaky? Like these little green men with big heads and big eyes. I mean, they just look anemic and you know, just weird, right? And they don't bear the image of God because God didn't create them. And so obviously, if they don't look like human beings, because they don't, okay, then that would mean that there's some sort, there's some form of creature that God created. Well, then you have a problem because we're supposed to have dominion over all of creation. And according to the narrative, the public narrative, aliens have essentially dominion over us. They're constantly watching us. They are kidnapping human beings, you know, probing them and doing all types of experiments. Sounds like they have a lot of power over us. And so it obviously doesn't fit the biblical narrative because of the fact that they weren't created by God. They're not even a creature that was created by God because we don't have, you know, it'd be cool to have dominion over aliens or whatever, but it's just not real, okay? And by the way, you know, you say, well, yeah, but what if he created, you know, aliens on other planets and you know, he died for them or something after he left Earth? Well, first of all, the Bible doesn't give that any type of account of that nature. But secondly, again, they weren't made in the image of God. And then thirdly, let's just say, okay, they don't, but you know, maybe they don't sin though, you know. They're these sentient beings who just don't sin. Well, then, you know, you have a problem because they're still a created being. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that all the creatures are subject to vanity. Yeah. So all of creation, everything that you see in the universe is subject to vanity. Everything is being destroyed. Everything is essentially coming to naught because we're subject to vanity. That's how the world and the universe works. You know, this is why, for example, every single planet in the universe is sterile. Okay, people are like, oh man, I just want to go visit other planets. Why? All planets suck. You can't sustain life on other planets. It's terrible. Earth is the most beautiful planet in all of existence. It's the perfect planet. It's the only planet that has oceans and vegetation and human beings and beauty. Obviously, there's planets out there that are beautiful, but they're hostile environments that can't sustain life. That's just the bottom line. And in fact, you know, think about this. You know, they don't know this, but obviously, you know, there's gas planets, even in our solar system. And, you know, people have made this claim like, oh, there's certain planets that, you know, it rains glass or it rains diamonds. And in our minds, we think, oh, man, diamonds are just so valuable, so expensive. But the reality is this, is that actually in the economy of the universe, wood is actually more expensive than diamonds. Amen. Because we're the only planet that has wood. Yep. Every other planet, even if you have diamonds, is not enough. Because in the economy of the universe, God put wood only here, okay, to create houses and things that we can utilize. But at the end of the day, aliens, if they don't sin, we have a problem because all the creatures of God are subject to vanity. And the Bible also tells us that all the creatures are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Okay? In other words, they're waiting for the redemption, which means that either if they were created, they should be subject unto us, or if they're superior to us, then we got a big problem with the Bible. But obviously, the problem is not with the Bible. The problem is with these lovers of sci-fi. Okay? Now, there's a guy, he's an Italian scientist, and he basically posed this particular paradox. It's called the Fermi paradox. And this guy's not a Christian, but he basically determined, and he put forth this statement here, Enrico Fermi determined that any past intelligent species in the Milky Way, listen to this, would require 1 billion years to colonize our 13 billion-year-old galaxy. These mathematics demand that we should have met E.T. by now. So, because if you think about it, the concept of aliens requires the false concept of evolution to exist. Because, you know, they think to themselves, well, you know, it's
the galaxy or the universe is billions of years old. And so if it's billions of years old, there's probably some other civilization that existed billions of years ago. Well, they would only require 1 billion years to create technology to essentially overcome and rule all these other galaxies. These mathematics demand that we should have met E.T. by now. What does the great silence tell us about human existence? He basically posed this. He says, where is everybody? If they had 1 billion years, the so-called advanced civilization with these UAPs and all this advanced technology, if they've had 1 billion years to essentially advance so dramatically and so drastically, then where is everybody? This is known as the Fermi paradox, because it poses a problem to the evolution theory, which is not a theory, it's false. Because they're just like, well, you want to say that this universe is billions of years old and that aliens have existed for billions of years and they're super advanced, then why aren't we being ruled by these so-called aliens? Why are we alone? I'll tell you why, because we are alone. Okay. He said, then why would God create this vast expanse of space with all these galaxies and planets and stars? It's called for his glory. Yeah. That's what it's for. Right. It's not so we can travel from Earth to go to Pluto. Who wants to go to Pluto anyways? I don't even want to go to Antarctica. I don't even want to go to the coldest place on Earth. What makes you think I want to go to a place called Pluto that's far away from the sun? I have no interest in that. Okay. It's a hostile environment. All these planets are sterile. I want nothing to do with them. They're wandering stars. Yeah. Okay. And so turn with me, if you would, to go to 2 Peter chapter 3. So to believe in aliens is to assert that God created beings superior to man. And if they're so superior, why are they hiding? Why are they making it so hard to find them? If they're so superior, they can just come here like Superman or something. And just like take over if they wanted to. Take all our resources, you know, have a World of Wars type thing where they take all our resources and enslave us and whatnot. I mean, it's stupid. It's nonsense. It makes for a great movie. You know? And you know, that's the only place aliens exist is in the movies. You know, and movies have to twist all types of them. They make all types of mental gymnastics in order to create these types of environments. I mean, you think of like Star Wars, for example, okay, where every planet just so happens to have oxygen, right? It's like no matter where they go, it's just, don't worry, there's oxygen, you know? Why? Because of the fact that it doesn't work in the real world. There's only oxygen here, my friends. Number three. Why believing in aliens is stupid. Number three, it makes Christians twist the Bible to substantiate the claim that aliens exist in some form. Okay? Because, you know, most Christians agree with those first two points. But then when you get to, like, the evidence and the UAPs, then Christians, they start scrambling. And they're like, they don't know how to make sense of these aircrafts, these UAPs, these phenomenons that are taking place, you know, in the United States. You know, they don't know how to really make sense of it. So their default setting is, oh, they're just demons and angels or something. Hey, durst not bring a railing accusation against the demons and aliens of this world, my friends. Okay. Now look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. And I hear this all the time. I see this on social media all the time. Where people are just like, aliens. And then the Christian is just like, I know you, demon. You know, it's just. Because that's like their default setting. They don't know how to think about things reasonably and just understand this is just technology or something. Okay? Not everything is the devil. The devil's responsible for a lot of stuff. This is probably not one of them. Now, I'm not saying that the people that are in charge of these things are not demon-possessed and have wicked agenda behind it. I'm just saying it's the demon's not the pilot. You know, where in the Bible, and we'll go to Ezekiel in just a bit. Where in the Bible do you ever see like a demon just like flying an aircraft? And then they get to, you know, their destination, and they're like, dude, they saw you on camera. You got to be careful, bro. Like, you just like, You didn't put invisible mode on or something, you know? Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. It says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Now, what this is referring to is the Apostle Peter is talking about the Apostle Paul's writings, which if you've read the Bible for any length of time, obviously the New Testament, you see that there's certain things that the Apostle Paul writes about that are kind of hard to understand. Right? He writes in a cryptic way sometimes, very deep. And so when you have these deep scriptures in the Bible, these are often the portions in the passages of scripture that people who don't know the Bible or people who want to twist the Bible will use to teach some sort of false doctrine. Because of the fact that the scripture is so encrypted, enigmatic, obscure, it's kind of open for interpretation type of a thing, right? And so what he's saying here is that people who are unlearned and they're unstable, they will rest, which another word for rest is wrestle. They will twist those scriptures to mean something that it doesn't really say. Now, turn with me, if you would, to go to Ezekiel chapter 1. Okay, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1. While you're turning, I'm going to read to you from Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse 12. It says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We don't use the Bible to try to fit everything that's going on in the world, right? We view the world in light of the Bible. And so if you see something that doesn't make sense to you and you can't necessarily filter it through the word of God, you just need to read the Bible more. Gain some discernment and don't start jumping to these sci-fi conclusions or even start saying like, oh, it's just a demon or something like that, you know. Let me read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 1, or verse number 3, excuse me. It says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Listen to this. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. What is a fable? It's a made-up story. It's E.T. It's Star Wars. It's Star Trek. Things that aren't real. And so the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, people who don't know the Bible shouldn't be teaching the Bible. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Because when they do, they're going to start teaching things that are fables. They're going to start teaching lies. And unfortunately, the population, even amongst churches, they love hearing fables. Okay? But we need to reject fables and study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? Stick to the truth and shun profane and vain babblings, the Bible says. Okay? Now, let's talk about Ezekiel 1 because of the fact that when Christians are confronted with this topic of aliens, their default setting sometimes is aliens are demons. Aliens are angels. Okay? And the reason, and they'll often go to Ezekiel chapter 1 as a proof text to say that this is why this is valid. This idea is valid. Now, let's read it here. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse number 1 says, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I, referring to Ezekiel, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open, and listen to this, and I saw visions of God. So when you read the book of Ezekiel, you'll see that Ezekiel is probably one of the prophets who received the most visions. Now, what is a vision? It's not something that's happening in real time, per se, like in reality. It is essentially a supernatural occurrence where God is allowing him to view things. He's not having an outer body experience. He's just viewing things through the spiritual realm. Okay, it's not physically happening at that moment. You understand? So he sees this vision. It says in verse number 2, in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. So what he's about to see is essentially a celestial body, which is known as a cherubim, which people commonly refer to as an angel, although they're not necessarily the same things. It's a created beast of God that's in heaven that has this very exotic look to them. I mean, you have fire, the Bible says, enfolding itself. So you think of a fire, a flame that's just constantly enfolding itself. It's coming out, going back in, coming out, going back in. It's very exotic, right? It's kind of cool, like, to think about. Also out of the midst of thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet. The sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. So he's describing what's known as a cherubim, okay? And a cherubim is not your classical angel. Most people think of angels as having wings. They look kind of gay, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like, they're really soft, you know? They're just, they're like half naked, right? It's like the Catholic angel, the cherubim. Whereas the cherubim in the Bible is very exotic and, in fact, very terrifying to look at. So they have this anthropomorphic body. In other words, they look like a man, like the body of a man, but they have four faces. The face of a man, even though it's still considered a beast. Then you have the face of a lion, the face of a calf, and what's the other one that I'm missing? The face of an eagle, okay? So that's this anthropomorphic type of a thing. And even their legs, they have legs of calf's feet. So it's just as our legs, they're kind of like, they go down and make an L shape. The legs of a cherubim is like a calf. So it just goes straight down, okay? It's like a stick. And then they're sparkling with the color of burnished brass. Verse 8 says, and they had hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. So the way these cherubims actually move, the way they travel, is essentially they go one way. They go north, south, east, west, essentially, okay? They kind of just move like this, okay? And the reason for this is because of their four faces. So in either case, they're moving forward if it's in the direction, obviously, of that particular face, the eagle or whatever, the man. Verse number 10 says, as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle, which is indicative of the four gospels. As we also see in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, that the cherubim are made this way to depict the four gospels, and I won't get into that. I preach that in other sermons. Verse 11 says, thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. Look at verse 12. And they went everyone straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. So they're not going like this, you know what I mean? They're not like spinning. You understand? They're just kind of moving, again, north, south, east, west type movement. Verse 13 says, as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps, and went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. Out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. You know, like those UAPs? It's like, it's really fast, right? Verse 15 says, now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. And the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl, and their four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Now, how do we describe this? Well, you basically can describe it as a sphere, okay? It's basically saying there's a wheel within a wheel. And the best way that I can describe this, as far as like, you know, today, would be like a luggage, okay? Now you look at the bottom of a luggage bag, those wheels, they don't necessarily move forward or backward, you can kind of move it wherever. It's like a wheel within a wheel, right? It's almost like a sphere, so that no matter where you turn, they just kind of roll in that direction, you understand? So this is what this is describing here. Verse 17 says, when they went upon their four sides, and it turned not when they went. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up, so on and so forth. So the reason people use this portion of scripture to try to validate that there's proof that there's aliens is because of the wheels. Because, you know, in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, when aliens were seen or whatever, it was always like a wheel that was spinning. A flying saucer, okay? Which, you know, ironically, you know, the Twilight Zone also had flying saucers when depicting aliens and stuff, okay? But this is not the same thing that's being described here, because the wheel is within a wheel, essentially creating a sphere, understand? Almost like a ball kind of that rolls and helps these celestial bodies get from one place to another. Now, what is the point of showing this in this particular passage of scripture to debunk the existence of aliens? Well, because of the fact that all this is being done when? In a vision. And there's no example in the Bible where a cherubim shows its actual formation, its actual created body in real life. Because it's a vision. Now, are there angels that go into the physical realm in the Bible and appear, you know, and kind of discover themselves before human beings? Absolutely. But they never come as a lion, as an eagle, as an ox. They're not just moving all over the place and believers are like, whoa, slow down, bro. You know, can you just stand still? They come in human form. Why? Because angels, when talking or communing with human beings on this earth, come in the form of humans as well. You see this in Genesis 19 and even in the historical books. And even in the four Gospels, they always come in the appearance of an actual man. You understand? In bright clothing or whatever. It's never these cherubims that are appearing, you know, with a wheel within a wheel and a lamb just going up and down and they're moving as fast as lightning. That is for a celestial supernatural vision that God gives to Ezekiel and others who have seen this. Okay, so cherubims are manifested in their created form through visions because of the fact that cherubims are spiritual beings. Okay, angels, when manifested in the physical realm, embody human form. Demons possess humans and or animals. They don't embody spaceships, is what I'm trying to say here. Okay, nor do they use spaceships to travel, because it doesn't match up with the biblical description of cherubims traveling in Ezekiel chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter 10. You say, well, how do you know that these are cherubims? Because it doesn't state that in chapter 1. Well, in chapter 10, it does describe them as cherubims. And it calls back to chapter 1 saying, these are the ones that I saw in the beginning of the vision at the river Chabar. Okay, so it's referring to those cherubims there. And they never possess inanimate objects either. So, you know, stop watching those horror movies of the psychics or whatever. What's that? What is it? No, not that one. You're watching too many movies. What? I'm talking about the psychic lady who always, like The Conjuring. You guys know what I'm talking about? What's the lady's name? Someone in here knows. I won't embarrass you. What? Yeah, come on. Anyways, this lady and her husband, they're like psychics, and they're like exorcists. Obviously, they're phonies, is what they are. They made a lot of movies about them. But anytime they go to a particular place to exorcise a demon or a devil, they always take an object from that particular incident, and they bring it back home, and they basically claim that it's like possessed with the devil. This is where like that doll Annabelle. Ah, see, everyone knows what I'm talking about, okay? You know, that doll Annabelle? Well, they have that doll Annabelle, and they have it in this particular cellar. And anytime people go visit them, they're just like, don't look at the doll, okay? You know, if you walk by, just don't look at it because it just has all these demons in it. I wish I can go visit over there just so I can just like slap that thing around, exercise my dominion over that thing. You know, because it's an inanimate object. Isn't it crazy that there's people who are literally afraid of a doll who has no life whatsoever? What's that called? Superstition. Okay. And so, you know, they don't possess inanimate objects. They can't possess vehicles, a saxophone, or, you know, a doll, spacecrafts, ships. They don't do those things. And they don't need physical objects to travel in because they're spiritual beings. You know, it's not like, you know, once they fell from heaven, their transportation license was revoked or something, and they can no longer travel as cherubims. It's just like, you know, they have to get a regular vehicle like everyone else or something. And, you know, you have this one demon who is on his way to tempt some believer, and they just got caught on video camera. And that's where this whole thing comes from. It's nonsense, my friends. Why do you think that demons are driving these aircrafts to get from point A to point B? Folks, angels and demons live in the spiritual realm. They don't live in this, they're not bound by the physical realm that we live in. Okay? They're probably laughing. The demons are probably laughing at people for giving them credit flying these UAPs. And in fact, these demons are able to probably travel faster than those UAPs. Okay? Now, here's another argument that people give, and that is, well, maybe you're right, but demons gave them the technology, though. How many of you heard that before? Okay? Well, they'll say, by the way, go to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31. Because, you know, they always got to explain it away somehow. But it's like, why? Why can't you just accept the fact that humans can create these things? Amen. You know, just because you've never seen it before? I mean, it's not, you're not being reasonable, okay? But they'll say, you know, I think that demons are giving these people this advanced technology to create really fast aircrafts. And what do you think they're going to do with those aircrafts? What's the nefarious agenda being able to travel from point A to point B? You know, what is so wicked and demonic about that? That's what I'm wondering, okay? Now, here's the proof text, because I've talked to people personally who believe this, okay? And it just didn't seem legitimate. And this is the scripture they pointed to. This is the scripture a lot of people point to. Exodus 31, verse 1 says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in the cutting of stones to set them, and in the carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship." So here we see that God endows a human being with particular knowledge in order to advance in cunning works, gold, silver, things of that nature. So their belief was, well, if God does that, that means demons can do it too. In other words, elevating the knowledge of demons, the capability of demons, to God. But you know, one example we don't have is demons doing this in the Bible. Yeah. You're like, well, you know, what about all these technologies that are just beyond the normal human capacity and they're being used for evil? Romans 1, listen to this, referring to reprobates, says this, listen, and this is the coup de grace, that they are, listen to this, inventors of evil things. People invent things, my friends. If demons and devils and Satan was capable of just, you know, superimposing wicked knowledge of, you know, technology into people, he would have done it just to the entire population. You say, well, you know, then how are these people getting this? Well, here's my opinion of why these people in high places have this knowledge or have the positions that they have. Obviously, the position is given to them by Satan. But you know why the position is given to them by Satan? Because of the fact that either they already have knowledge and or the resources. This is why Satan doesn't set up just anybody. Because not everyone fits the criteria to be as wicked as he would want them to be. Because people have a free will. You understand? So who is Satan going to use? He's going to use the most qualified person with the most potential for wickedness. people with the most money, people who are very knowledgeable, people who are very intelligent. He's not going to just use everyone because not everyone is intelligent. You understand? Or he could just say, well, you know, he could. Yeah, but he doesn't have the capability of just superimposing knowledge into some guy who doesn't have a job, he doesn't read. And, you know, why doesn't he do that? If God, if Satan is capable of just giving knowledge to a person in that manner, why doesn't he just go to the entire population and just give them knowledge, just knowledge, knowledge for wickedness, knowledge for evil, knowledge for iniquity, knowledge for nefarious agenda? Because of the fact that that's not the way it works. People gain knowledge by themselves. This particular case is obviously a unique case where God gave someone particular knowledge. And of course, this person thereafter passed that on to his children, passed that on to other employees. You understand? And so it's one of those things where, like, God got the ball rolling, and then that person just kind of taught everyone else. Yeah. It's kind of like the way we have the Bible today. Amen. The Bible was given to men of God. God spoke to them, but we don't need God to speak to us today because we have this already. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? And so, you know, the thought of, like, oh, you know, I think demons are giving people this technology, it's such a dumb concept in my opinion. Okay? You know, it's just like, yeah, but what about AI, you know? Didn't Satan give that? I don't think so, because AI is helping a lot of people today. AI is beneficial. Artificial intelligence is beneficial. And you're like, yeah, but haven't you seen like Terminator and The Matrix? What about what if that happens or something? Well, I'm a Christian, so I don't believe in that stuff. I'm not saying AI can't be dangerous in the long run or something. I'm just saying that it is amoral. Okay? The people, it depends on the person whether you make it good or bad, though. Okay? Because obviously people can use AI for wickedness, but people can use AI for good as well. I mean, it streamlines a lot of work. Okay? It's very beneficial. And I was even sharing this with someone in our church a couple weeks ago, and I was thinking to myself, you know, think about Instagram. Okay? You know, my Instagram is filled with preachers who have died a long time ago. Died a long time ago, like Jack Hiles. He never would have thought that thousands of people every day would be listening to his preaching or watching him preach on the little computer screen. He would think, like, that's like, whoa, what? Like, that's incredible. Because, you know, they had tapes back then or something. He never would have thought, like, people would just be viewing and listening to his preaching nonstop, that there are entire accounts dedicated to him, listening to his preaching. And he's been in heaven for so long. But if you were to tell him that 30, 40 years ago or whatever, he would have been like, what? You know, that seems incredible. But here's my opinion. Let's say, for example, AI can become so advanced that, let's say, if the Lord tarries 100 years from now, let's say 50 years from now, let's say I die, okay? I pass away, but there's enough content of mine on the internet, because here's the way AI works. If there's enough of your voice on the internet, enough of your speech and your talk on the internet, AI can basically put everything together and cause you to just speak. Like, that is a thing right now, like even on TikTok and Instagram, where it's just like people who have been dead, they can actually talk and speak. And obviously a lot of parodies are made of like Joe Biden and stuff, which is pretty funny if you ask me. But, you know, let's say, you know, 50 years from now, I'm dead, 60 years from now, 100 years from now. What's to say that a person can't, you know, say, pull up Pastor Mejia's sermon on why believing in aliens is stupid. And it just pops me up. It's not me, but there's so much video, content, speech, and my doctrine and preaching on the internet that AI can literally put it together and just like preach that sermon in their living room through AI. You're like, oh, you're getting too much into that sci-fi stuff. I mean, Apple just came out with those goggles where literally you can work from home and everything is just viewed through, like, it's just, I can't even explain it, but it's very much like Minority Report type thing where you're just like moving stuff and all that. That seemed like fake back in the days, but now it's like a real thing. So they could just pull up a preacher, Pastor Steven Anderson just comes up. Pastor Steven Anderson, tell us what you believe about the reprobate doctrine. And there's enough mannerisms online that AI-generated image can mimic how he is. It's a possibility. So it could be used for good, where it's just like 100 years from now, I'm still preaching the gospel through AI or whatever, through someone who just uploads all the images and content and sermons and all the visual aids through AI, where the gospel's still being preached. Like, I don't know about that. Jack Howells is still preaching. Ton of preachers who have died in times past are still preaching today because of technology. So it can be used for good. Are you trying to tell me that a demon gave, like the demon's like, no, that's not what it's for. he's preaching the gospel. I told you not to give him that knowledge. It's nonsense, my friends. Anyways, that transatlantic vehicle that I was talking about is a 75-passenger luxury hybrid concept, which I still believe it's possible, craft that is designed to travel at 7,672 miles per hour that could allow you to travel across the Atlantic Ocean in 40 minutes. You know? And you say, impossible. Well, what if we told the people in Bible times about the technologies that we have now? They would probably say, impossible. All right, let's move on here. I'm almost done. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Give me 5 minutes and I'm done, okay? And I will not talk about aliens anymore. Hopefully not, okay? Why is believing in aliens stupid? Because it opens the door to more stupid theories. That's why. Look what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings. Why? For they will increase unto more ungodliness. It says, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So when it comes to this subject of aliens, then you get someone like Joe Rogan, who is putting forth this theory like, well, I believe that, like, these aliens are just, like, actual human beings in the future who have created these bodies because they won't need these physical bodies. So that's why they look like these little green men or little gray aliens. And then, you know, they've invented time travel and they're actually trying to come back to us to kind of, like, warn us. What? The guy sounds high, and he probably is high. He's not only high, he's on that what? That DMT. The Amazon drug or whatever. What? Ayahuasca. He's probably on that Amazon crack. And that's why he's coming up with all these weird theories, because it increases into more ungodliness. And this is why the Bible says we need to shun profane and vain babbling. Aliens exist. No, they don't. The only alien that I've ever known is my family who came from Guatemala, okay? Those are the only aliens I know personally, and they don't look like the pictures either, okay? And so it's important, folks, that when stuff like that starts coming up in our church, that we shut it down immediately. Amen. Bring people down to reason, to biblical thinking, Amen. Not to fantasy and sci-fi worlds, okay? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And just ask some more, because once you get into aliens, then you get into time travel. Once you get into time travel, then you get into vain babblings of, well, if we can time travel, what if I move a piece of rock or something and I go to the past and everything changes? Then Jesus is not born. And then, you know, it's just like, it's just vain babbling. Yeah. Minister questions rather than godly edifying, okay? And lastly, this. At the root of this, it adds credence to the delusion which moves people away from the Bible. This is why believing in aliens is stupid. Because it's just another facet to give to this world whereby the world can reject the Bible and accept nonsense. You're like, do you really think that people will buy into it to the point where they reject the truth? By accepting it, they are rejecting the truth. And just think this, you know, the world one day will accept the Antichrist as the God of this world. And according to the Bible, that's referred to as a strong delusion. And so we need to reject things that cause people to believe something other than the truth of the Bible. Understand? And understand this, you know, the Bible's timeless. Because you think to yourself, well, how can you preach an entire sermon on aliens using the Bible? There's enough in the Bible to refute lies and nonsense and vain babblings. I mean, we did it today. And so we need to make sure that we reject that. And here's the thing, folks. I only believe in one alien. It's only one alien I believe in. Because an alien is someone who is not of this world. And that's Jesus, amen?
Amen.
Because he's really not of this world. I would never call him an alien. I'm just saying for the sake of the sermon. Alien is someone who's foreign to this particular world. And in a sense, like, we're illegal aliens here as well. Because this is not our world. Our citizenship is in heaven. In the New Jerusalem. You understand? But it's so funny. I find it hilarious. If I make that comparison, if I may, that people are like, they see some sort of like frozen ice on a different planet. And they're just like, life on other planets. And then you try to point to the baby in a woman's womb. And they're just like, oh, that's not life. But you want to believe some piece of ice on Mars is life? And we tell them, Jesus Christ came to this world. He created all things. By him, all things consist. He came to redeem the world. He's in heaven. And they're like, that's so stupid. What about aliens? Oh, yeah, that's true, though. And we were created by aliens billions of years ago. Folks, we're not the stupid ones here. That's stupid. And it's just like they're pointing at us, mocking us for believing in God who created everything. And and by the way, you know, the God who's even in control of that which is unseen, the spiritual. Fear not him which can kill the body, but afterwards can do nothing. Fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Okay? But yet they want to buy into aliens. Okay? It's nonsensical. And so that's it, you know. If you are into aliens and your favorite movie has an alien involved, well, you know, as long as you understand that it's just not real. Okay? You know, you just keep it at the entertainment level. And don't try to make excuses as to, you know, maybe this is possible. Maybe there are Kryptonians in this world. Maybe reptilians are real. Vain, profane, and vain babblings, my friends. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the truth of the Bible and the fact that we can use it, Lord, to tear through the nonsense and lies and deception and nonsensical things of this world, Lord. I pray that you'd help us as your people to be sound in faith and not to be carried away with diverse and strange doctrines, and that we would continuously fall back onto the word of God and prove all things, hold fast that which is good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please turn your songbooks to song number 372. Song number 372, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. Song number 372, all together nice and strong on that first verse. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Dark the night of sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother,
Some poor sailor tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor, in the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save.
Amen. Wonderful singing. You are dismissed.